bar uses an applause meter. That is why it is so important that you all come and applaud only for my band, Scrantonicity 2. Not Scrantonicity, which I am no longer a part of.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you after the first preseason game of the new regime. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We're back. First preseason game in the books. Current future Giants legend. Davis Webb leading the game-winning drive against the Patriots to succeed Eli, just like we all envisioned.
Yes.
Giants get the win on a Graham Gano last-second field goal. Let's get into it. Let's discuss. It shouldn't be a terribly long episode because the starters didn't play too much, but obviously there are some depth players to discuss and some opinions to be had. So I'll let you start. What stood out to you? What didn't look great? Give me your overall thoughts on preseason game one.
I think just on face value, I thought the Giants, given the fact that it's the first game under a new regime, new system across the board, offense and defense, I thought it looked very functional. There wasn't a lot of mental lapses. They looked sort of prepared. And again, I know it was against the Patriots, second team, but just to see them not make any mental mistakes across the board, no penalties for, false starts or, burning timeouts or, shit like we've seen the last, four or 5 years. There wasn't any of that. So it was nice to see that the team was prepared. The offense, it's just looks like more modern. It looks like they're just using modern technology, like they're not printing out MapQuest. To get to point A to point B. They're using an actual app on their phone. It just looked like I was watching a modern football team and not some team that I just, felt like was built for, the 60s and when they were wearing leather helmets. So it was an encouraging start. The first team offense didn't play a whole lot, but they had an encouraging first drive. Kenny Golladay is, sort of the one bad.
Yeah, we'll get into him.
On offense, had a bad drop, really cost them a touchdown. There is a lot of concern with injuries, I think. I think it's something that we need to discuss a little bit. Kadarius Toney didn't play. With Kadarius, we talk about, breakout season. Can it be a wide receiver one? Well, the talent is there, but the one thing
can that he be healthy?
With him is, can he be healthy? And him missing the first preseason game, Not something to overreact about, but with Kadarius Toney, given his past and his injuries, it's definitely a pause with him. But overall, like I said, it was an encouraging game for the Giants. I thought a lot of, nothing for me, it was nothing like, oh my God, I'm worried about this, outside of the fact that they severely lack depth and talent in the secondary. There, you can't really tell the difference between. Like, I don't think the gap is that large between their cornerback 2 and their, cornerback 6. You know what I'm saying?
I would agree with that.
So there is a serious cause for concern there. Darion Beavers, the rookie out of Cincinnati. I think he's going to have a really strong role with the Giants. And I know people will say that's not saying much given the talent. But for a rookie 6th-round pick, it kind of is. So yeah. I really like
Darion Beavers. 3 tackles, 1 for a loss.
And he was always at the ball, and he's very fast. And he's a very lengthy guy, too. So overall, like I said, I'm encouraged for a first preseason game. And, it's sort of an exciting time to see how the rest of this summer plays out.
Yeah. From my perspective, the quarterback situation was interesting to watch. Daniel Jones left the game without an injury.
Yeah.
Which is always a positive to see.
Took some hits, like, too.
Yeah, exactly. He took some hits, and he held up fine, which you love to see. I would like you to fill in the blanks on this next sentence. Tyrod Taylor is the best Giants backup quarterback since? Blank. Who?
Whew. Tyrod Taylor is the best Giants backup quarterback since. I don't know if this will count, but when Eli Manning was drafted, he was technically the backup to Kurt Warner.
That does not count.
Jeez.
Point being, it's been a while since the Giants have had a reliable backup quarterback. I mean, they've never...
Jim Sorgi, maybe? Wasn't Jim Sorgi the backup when Victor Cruz broke out?
I have no idea. But
I think it was Jim Sorgi, yeah. Maybe since Jim Sorgi. I mean, Tyrod looked good. He looked very comfortable.
Very, very comfortable. Point being, throughout the entire Eli Manning tenure, backup quarterback was never front of mind because Eli was an Iron Man, never hurt. As Giants fans, I think we took it for granted a lot of the time. We obviously, you know, look back fondly on those memories, including the San Francisco playoff game where he took a beating and just totally healthy. But again, you know, with Daniel Jones injuries, we've had some dog shit backup quarterbacks since he's been brought in. And it's good to see Tyrod Taylor look very, very comfortable. He went 13 of 21, 129 yards and a touchdown. Looked like he knew what he was doing. And this is not going to be the Giants of last year where if Daniel Jones goes down, you know, you're going to be starting absolute garbage at the position. I want to talk about the running game for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Saquon, I left that on the table for you.
What?
I said I left that on the table for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, Barkley looked fine. But really what was encouraging in my eyes, the backups, Brightwell, Williams, Corbin, I think they all played really well. I think a lot of people are expecting the Giants early in the season to be a run-heavy team, especially if this sort of depth holds up, because I really do like a guy like Gary Brightwell. But I don't know. I mean, this sort of goes back to...
They'll be able to run the football.
Okay. But I don't know about that. All right, there are a few levels to this, right? You touched on it. Aaron Robinson, CB2. Like, that secondary is really bad. They're going to get picked on. Their best cornerback, Adoree Jackson, hasn't played a full season since 2018. So, even if he plays a full healthy season as your CB1, the depth behind it is not good. Aaron Robinson was getting picked on in preseason game number one against the second team offense. If the Giants find themselves in negative game scripts early on in the season, I don't think that they will be able to go as run heavy as people want. That's point number one. Point number two, especially with some of the injuries that occurred last night, the interior, I mean, a lot of people forget, right? Because we're so hyped on the fact that we got Evan Neal, we got Kayvon Thibodeau. Giants offensive line, outside of Andrew Thomas, is completely unproven. You have some veterans, so I'll take that back because there are some veterans on the interior, right. But Evan Neal is unproven, and I don't think that the veteran depth on the interior is particularly good. They're certainly competent. They know what they're doing, but this is not like, you know, the Giants, you know, are just going to go ground and pound, especially with the modern offense that they have. So, listen, it's good that they have great depth at running back, and a lot of these running backs looked great. I mean, let me look for the stats real quick, but Brightwell had 5.7 yards per carry, 2 receptions for 19 yards. Williams had 61 yards on 9 carries for 6.8 yards per attempt, and a touchdown too. Like, these were encouraging signs, and it's good to know that they can do it. I just wouldn't bank on the running game being anything like dominant or being utilized as frequently as people might think because of some of the reasons I just mentioned.
So I'll push back a little on that. I understand what you're saying in terms of, you know, the Giants will be playing from behind a lot. I can definitely see that. But I don't necessarily think they'll be able to run the ball because their running back, I'm so high on their running backs. Like, I do like Antonio Williams. I like Gary Brightwell. I like the undrafted, you know, Corbin out of Florida State. But for me, and obviously Saquon Barkley being healthy is big too, but for me, the reason why I think they're going to be able to run the ball very well is because the strengths of all their offensive linemen, maybe outside of Andrew Thomas, is run blocking. Like, Shane Lemieux can run block. He's a liability in pass protection, but he can run block. John Feliciano, I think, is a better run blocker than a pass blocker, and same with Evan Neal. So I think they'll be able to run the ball because the strength of their offensive line is run blocking, and the holes that they're able to create. I do think they can be a successful running team where they'll be able to get, you know, high threes, low fours yards per carry, and I think that's going to be important for them. But to me, I don't look at it and say, okay, the Giants are going to be able to run the football well because they have a lot of talent at the running back position. No, I do think that I like who they have, and I think, you know, when you add on Matt Breida as well, you can't forget about him. He didn't play yesterday, but I do think they have really good depth, and it's a really interesting competition. And I'm interested to see who the odd men out are in this situation. But when I say I think the Giants are going to, like when I texted you, the Giants are going to be able to run the fucking ball, it is because their offensive line strengths individually and it looks collectively is run blocking. We will see. Now, obviously, you know, it is the first preseason game, but I just love the way they run the ball. Injuries. Man, Shane Lemieux has really bad luck. You know, has a great summer and then just looked like a turf toe. We'll see. I mean, he was in a walking boot. They lost Jameel Douglas, who was taking some first-team reps at center. And then obviously in the secondary, Cordell Flott, the rookie third-round pick, goes down. I think it was a groin injury. So two spots the Giants can't afford injuries was the offensive line and the secondary. And they lost two linemen, including their starting left guard. And they lose, you know, a guy that was competing for, you know, that first backup spot in the secondary with Cordell Flott, yeah. Who's a rookie third-round pick, and you want to see him play a lot this summer. So losing, you know, Shane Lemieux sucks. I mean, he has terrible luck. You know, I think, you know, rookie year he was thrown into the fire, did some good things. It was a rough season. Second year with the injury to the knee, and then now after having a very good summer, getting, you know, basically getting all the first team reps at left guard, to go down with, you know, I'm not going to speculate, but typically toe injuries, big guys playing on turf. You think of turf toe, he was in a walking boot. So we'll see on that. And then Cordell Flott, the rookie corner. You never want to see a rookie, you know, get hurt in training camp. You never want to see anyone get hurt, but a rookie, you know, especially, you know, who's sort of, you know, going through that learning process, for him to get hurt, groin injury, it's not good. I mean, the Giants, two areas where you just couldn't afford to see injuries was cornerback and the offensive line, and they, you know, lose Jameel Douglas, lose their starting left guard and Shane Lemieux, and then Cordell Flott. But I do think their second team O-line, it's worrisome because they're losing bodies, but they didn't play bad last night. Especially for a team that brought in two or three guys in the last week off the street. But I did think Ben Bredesen was really good. He got snaps at guard and center, and I think he had a very good game last night. So you got to be encouraged by that. Maybe he could step in at left guard. Josh Azudu, the rookie third-round pick, struggled, not going to lie. It was his first game, but I do think, again, rookie, you know, offensive lineman, it's going to take time. It's not going to just click right away. But overall, like I said, I thought the good was the quarterback play was good. There was no mental mistakes. I thought, you know, Giants looked modern. Obviously, some of those Darian Beavers looked really good. You know, Ben Bredesen, who I just mentioned, looked very well. The bad, obviously, the play of Kenny Golladay. And I don't, you know, we can discuss him a little bit. The thing about Kenny Golladay is, Ethan, is that, and I had this conversation with Dan, our good friend Dan at FanFest, he doesn't get separation. You know, he's a guy that goes up.
Never has.
Yeah, never has. He's not known for that. He struggles to separate himself from the receivers. The thing was, in Detroit, when he was playing with Matt Stafford is, you know, a very accurate quarterback. He's able to get him the ball a lot better than Daniel Jones is. And on top of that, with Golladay, he's on a, you know, 4-year, $72 million deal. And he's just, at times, it looks like he's just not engaged. But I don't think it's necessarily him not being engaged. I just think people look at him and they don't realize that he's not going to ever get separation. And it can look like he's, you know, lacking effort, but I don't think it's lack of effort. I just think he's not fast. He's a slow, big receiver who relies on his strength to go and get the ball. And it requires a lot more accuracy. And I'm not, this is not a knock on Daniel Jones. It's just who Kenny Golladay is.
Yeah. I've been thinking about Golladay a lot the last 24 hours. Uh-huh. And sort of how to attack the takes that have been out there about him. There are a few ways to look at it, right? The bad way to look at it is this is a guy who did well individually on bad teams in Detroit. And when it was his time, he said, you know what, whatever, I'm just going to go get paid. It's tough to really understand what system Joe Judge was running when Kenny Golladay came over here. But I think between Joe Judge and Daniel Jones as his quarterback, and then Daniel Jones goes down, you don't really have a good backup quarterback. He never really had any sort of chance at succeeding with the Giants. And to go from a team that was bad in the Lions to go to a team that has been worse over the last few years in the Giants, getting your bag and just sort of cruising for the remainder of the contract, I can see why some people would be concerned. But again, like you just said, like that's just not his game. And I think that the problem just gets compounded even more in this type of offense. Like if you think about the type of offense the Chiefs run and the Bills run, like they don't have like those big 6'4", 6'5", just chuck it up to them receivers.
Right.
Like they have incredibly accurate quarterbacks. They have quarterbacks with big arms. And I distinctly remember the off season between, you know, I think it was Josh Allen's second season to his third season, whichever offseason it was where they got Stephon Diggs. They were like, okay, we have a quarterback. In the past, he's had accuracy issues, but he's getting better. And he has one of the strongest arms in the entire NFL. Instead of the Kelvin Benjamins of the world and these big body receivers who can't get separation, just, you know, go up and get it, we're going to get speedy wide receivers who can run to where the ball is. It doesn't have to be particularly accurate, but as long as it's in the same vicinity, these guys will be able to run to the ball instead of the ball having to go directly to them all the time. And again, with Kafka here and Dable here, you have to think that they're intelligent enough coaches to be able to scheme Kenny Golladay into this offense, especially because they have no choice. I just don't think that he was a fit for the Joe Judge Giants. I say this as someone who's very excited to bring him in here because I thought he was just an immensely talented guy. But looking back in hindsight, he wasn't a fit for Joe Judge's offense and what he wanted to do. I don't think that he's a fit for Dable's offense and what him and Kafka want to do. So it's confusing, and it's definitely discouraging when you see the plays like last night where he's dropping third down balls going right into his chest at the goal line. I don't know. You know, it's disappointing. He's going to get a lot of hate from fans. I think we're at the point where we just need to cross our fingers and hope for the best. And, you know, I don't think anyone ever expected him to live up to the contract he got, but let's hope that he can come at least 75% of the way there at points during this season.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You brought up a good point. I think with the Chiefs and with the Bills, it's sort of those fast, twitchy receivers that you can line up in different spots and they can beat the corner.
What they have in Tony and Wandale.
And Richie James, who's emerging as a player that can find a role here. But then you look at a guy like Colin Johnson, who's a big receiver who might make the roster. And sure. I think in Buffalo, you know, Gabe Davis, I think Gabe Davis is like 6'1", 200, but he's like that's like their big receiver, but he's a very good route runner. I think Golladay lacks, you know, his route running is not as crisp as it needs to be. The injuries have piled on, and obviously the big contract. Like, he's sort of going to become public enemy number one for the Giants.
Yeah.
And look, it could possibly be the worst wide receiver contract in the NFL. Just looking at it, because I looked at it this morning because I got so many tweets from people, you know, since the game ended or since he dropped that pass, you know, can we get a Golladay, you know. post 6-1 release, you know, trade, and I basically just outlined what his contract is and what it's going to cost the Giants to get rid of him. First of all, you know, if you release him, there's a $20 million dead cap hit this year, and a $10 million dead cap hit next year. He's going to be on the roster this year. Even a trade. I mean, the dead cap this year is only $8 million, but still, there's a $10 million cap hit next year, regardless. And then, you know, you'll save $13 million on the books this year. But point is, you know, it's a really bad contract. I have a hard time seeing how the Giants can move it in a trade. I mean, we've seen, you know, teams move bad contracts in the past, but Golladay just looks like a guy that's, you know, he's going to be here this year, and then, you know, next year, who knows? I mean, whatever the Giants decide to do, it's going to be a significant dead cap hit. So I don't know what to tell Giant fans who want Galladay gone. It just seems like
cross your fingers. That's it. Yeah, you just have to cross your fingers and hope that they can figure it out. Yeah.
Just give me one good play a game and no bad drops. You know, that's the expectation for Galladay shouldn't be high. That's if you're looking for someone to put your hopes on. Even with Kadarius Toney for a second, right? Like, if we could just talk about him for a second. I understand the excitement around Kadarius Toney. The talent is there. I'm just not fully on board of this, like, incoming breakout season, establish himself as a true wide receiver one. I'm not there yet. You know, like, injuries are a problem with him. And then, you know, somebody that covers the Giants, I was talking to a beat writer the other day, and he was telling me how, you know, there are moments where he's just not as engaged as he needs to be. So, like, you have that. You have, you know, the injuries. I'm not there yet. And I don't blame people that are excited. Like I said, the talent is there. But I'm not there yet with Golladay. The person that I am excited about is Wandale Robinson. Like, I think he can – this is going to be a fun player. And I'm also excited about – don't get mad at me, Will, but I'm also excited about Saquon Barkley in this offense. I think if a healthy Saquon is also a fun player, take the stuff out of it, just strictly the player, it's going to be a fun player, you know, I think, in this offense. So
maybe
with Kadarius, I'm just not there yet. Maybe I'll get there at some point, but I'm... For me, the two guys that I'm most excited about in this offense is Wandale Robinson and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, to your Wandale point, it's a good one. A lot of people sort of scratched their head and were very, very confused by that pick, considering Kadarius Toney was on the roster. A lot of people compared the two just because they're smaller, quicker, twitchier type of receivers. But I'm fine with it. You know, I think for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, you know, this is the first year...
You were always fine with it. Like, you never scratched your head at that pick. You were always like, I get it.
At Wandale?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was always pro Wandale. I mean, I like him as a player, obviously, but I think part of it was the concern surrounding Toney. You just spoke about a lot of the reasons why you're not as quick to jump on the Toney breakout bandwagon, and they're totally reasonable. But again, like, you have a new regime that has a very clear plan. And he is a receiver that fits the mold of a lot of what I spoke about in Kansas City and Buffalo. And I have to trust the new organization and that they have a specific role and something in mind for Wandale Robinson, how he is going to be utilized in this offense. Like, I can't be mad at that yet. Like, a lot of people point to draft value he was ranked this by this person. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think another interesting thing about this offense is, you know, Brian Daboll, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. But there's a lot of Kansas City in this offense. Like, Mike Kafka calling plays. Like, I think there it's more than just Kansas City sprinkles on this offense. There is a good chunk of, you know, Kansas City and what they run. And I think it speaks to it because Kafka's calling plays. And I know Brian Daboll won't commit to Kafka calling plays, you know, being the play caller this entire season, but I think he will be. But to me, like you said, with Wandale, it just seems like he is that perfect type of player of what Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are looking for in this offense. And Kadarius Toney's strengths also play into that, and he's, you know, immensely talented. But again, like the injuries, I mean, and some of the others, it's just, it's hard for me to get on board, and I think that's why I'm sort of on this Wandale train, more so than the breakout Kadarius Toney train.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Anything else we want to cover before we wrap up the preseason one episode? Special teams was mediocre.
Joe Judge outplayed the Giants. He got it.
Listen, that's the Joe Judge effect, baby. That's why the Giants made a mistake in getting rid of this guy. They gave up 53 yards on three punts. That's not good.
Oh man,
they're missing Joe Judge. Many people are saying this.
What do you make of like this whole New England offensive thing? Like, do you think it's gonna work? Do you think it's
what New England offensive thing?
Like with Matt Patricia calling plays, Joe Judge calling plays.
No, I mean, these guys are both two failed head coaches
who never, you know, were offensive coordinators ever.
Exactly.
New England does have a receiver that I do like a lot, Tyquan Thornton.
Sure.
I like them a lot coming out of Baylor. But yeah, I mean, preseason game one, a lot of encouraging stuff for me, at least.
Yeah, and some concerns, but whatever. Yeah. It's early, and we'll be here throughout the whole preseason.
Yes.
So, all that being said, preseason game two.
Against the Bengals.
Let's wrap it up. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Peace.